Today is Saturday, January 30th, and today we're talking about Americans' attitudes toward the COVID-19 vaccines and the strategy to try to persuade more people to roll up their sleeves. That includes one of the largest public education campaigns in U.S. history. It's an effort by the bipartisan initiative called COVID Collaborative and the nonprofit marketing group Ad Council. Our first guest today is the COVID Collaborative Program Director, Anjali Balakrishna. She explains why there are skeptics and her program's strategy to try to change minds. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Anjali, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
So good to be here.
So first, let's talk about how Americans are actually feeling about a COVID-19 vaccine right now. I know one of your surveys last year showed only one third of Americans plan to get vaccinated against this disease. But some more recent polling is at least showing the numbers, I think, moving in the right direction. So what are you seeing right now when it comes to Americans' attitudes about a COVID-19 vaccine?
Absolutely. So we've been doing a number of different types of research into the opinions of the American public. The January survey will be coming out in a few weeks. So stay tuned for that. You know, we've been sort of trying to dig into why people are hesitant and where that hesitancy is coming from. And it does look like there's about a third who are for sure going to get the vaccine, about a fifth that are pretty resistant. And you have that, you know, we call them the movable middle of that, you know, about 50% of the American public that are skeptical or that are open but uncertain. And that's really kind of the space that we really need to focus on, you know, in order to get to the vaccination levels that are necessary.
So what do you think are some of the main reasons for those people who are at least hesitating right now? And how do you build trust and change their minds anyway?
Concerns fall into a couple of different areas. So there's obviously has been some concerns about the safety and the side effects of the vaccination. And then kind of coupled with that about the actual speed of the process through which the vaccine was developed. It's been an incredible year of scientific breakthroughs to get to a vaccine. But I think the speed and at times the politicization of that process has led to some hesitancy. There's also sort of some broader distrust in government, in pharmaceutical companies, and in pharmacy chains, and sort of the motives of those entities who have been working, you know, very hard in many cases to get this out there. But you know, that tends to be an area of distrust. You know, I think that there are also a number of conspiracy theories and, you know, both ones that have been around for a while about vaccines, but also new ones, you know, about the role of the COVID-19 vaccine. And so, you know, how do you get people to take the vaccine? You know, it seems obvious, but you sort of have to build trust in the vaccine itself, but also have the people who are telling you that the vaccine is safe be people that folks trust as well. So one of the things we've been learning is that the messenger is, you know, is almost as important, if not more important, than the message itself.
So give us some examples. What types of messengers are you getting?
As healthcare workers were getting access to the vaccine, we, the Ad Council and COVID Collaborative, did a sort of a series of Q&As that featured prominent members of the medical community talking about the vaccine, and it was introduced by Dr. Fauci. In that case, the medical community, we went to folks who looked like them from the medical community, as well as folks who shared their same background, and that sort of will be the approach going forward. We found in some of our research that your own personal physician, it tends to be a trusted figure. So that's, you know, there's channels that way. I think celebrities we'll explore as and when it makes sense. And I think COVID Collaborative's role has really been in bringing together the scientific experts to make sure that the vaccination education campaign is informed by the best science, but also on bringing together folks representing historically marginalized communities. So we have, as part of our collaborative, the NAACP, Unidos, the National Congress of American Indians, and a number of other groups that are part of this effort to actually figure out how to get the messages to the right communities and to also figure out who those best messengers are.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing very targeted campaigns to various audiences. And is that aligned with the timeline of who is even allowed to get the vaccine?
That's exactly right. So we've been trying to time the campaign to meet the both the target priority audiences, but also the supply of the vaccine. So, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of concern around the vaccine hesitant, but there are a lot of people who are also very vaccine eager, who have been you know, lining up, you know, you hear stories of people lining up for hours because the local pharmacy will have one extra dose at the end of the day and they could get it. So we have to, we're trying to be really mindful of threading the needle between sending out the messages that are encouraging people to get the vaccine and doing that at a time when they actually can go get the vaccine, right? We don't want to encourage people to, you know, to show up for the vaccine when they're not eligible or when the vaccine isn't available. So yes, we started with healthcare workers, and over the course of the next few months, we'll be targeting the messaging to the audiences that are that roughly line up with the prioritization for vaccination.
And earlier you talked about marginalized communities and really making sure the message gets out to them. Research by the COVID Collaborative suggests that fewer than 20% of Black Americans believe that a vaccine will be safe or effective. Can you explain why the Black community in particular might be so hesitant?
Particularly what we found in that research, and we did that research in partnership with the Langer Research Associates, is sort of a deep lack of trust based on historical trauma. So, you know, in the study, we pointed to the Tuskegee syphilis experiment and asked folks in the Black community if they were familiar with that experiment, and then sort of saw how that impacted their perception of trust with the medical community. And so the traumas that are unique to the to Black Americans, I think, do play a role in that hesitancy. But again, I think, you know, which is why I think having the right messengers who are representative of their communities. One of the stats from that poll was that, you know, Black Americans would be three times more likely to listen to a message if it came from a member of their own community versus from, you know, a white community leader or politician.
And where will people see these messengers and these messages? Are they TV commercials? Are they in the newspaper? Where are you putting these messages?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Ad Council, in partnership with COVID Collaborative, will be producing sort of a full suite of assets. There'll be assets for digital, TV, cable, radio, print. So we'll have these sort of assets, and then we'll also be creating these toolkits that will be targeted to priority audiences that'll also be open source so that folks can have access to the right messaging, to the right insights. It's going to kind of be a combination of things. Our goal is really to let's get these messages as far and wide as possible and to the right audiences as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
President Biden has said the doses will be available by the end of summer. Assuming that all the logistics and other factors do not get in the way, do you think you'll be able to convince as many Americans as needed to get vaccinated?
Yeah, you know, so our timeline puts us at general market by the end of the summer, really making sure that these messages are tailored for and accessible to folks across the spectrum of locations, of age groups, of demographics, of psychographics. And so I'm hopeful that our education campaign will line up well with the actual distribution.
What is your brief message right now to anyone listening who is in the middle and feels hesitant?
You're entitled to the information. You're absolutely right and allowed to have your concerns. And the information is out there, and we want to make sure that you have everything you need to make the decision to do your part in ending this pandemic.
Still ahead, hear from an executive at one of America's largest nonprofit healthcare companies about how to best roll out the COVID-19 vaccine and his take on why messages like "we're all in this together" may actually not be the right way to go. But first, let's take a break to thank our sponsors. I love these multivitamins because I don't have to worry anymore about what's in my vitamins that I take every day. With other types in the past, there always seemed to be synthetic fillers or other shady extras, or they were bad-smelling horse pills that I ultimately avoided taking. But Ritual fixes all of those problems. First, Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly formula is made with key nutrients and forms our bodies can actually use. In fact, Ritual is really transparent about this stuff. You'll always know where your nutrients come from thanks to its one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. On top of that, the pills are actually fresh tasting. And Ritual vitamins are now available for women, pregnant women, men, and teens. I've been taking Ritual vitamins for a while now, and I love that I get free shipping and they just show up at my door each month before I run out. You too deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy. Also, this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it as well. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available right now, exclusively on BlueNile.com. But when they're gone, they're gone. We all know the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Okay, now it's time for my conversation with David Grandy, VP of Kaiser Permanente, leading their delivery system design and innovation. During his decades in healthcare, he's also worked with Google, GE, the American Medical Association, the U.S. Department of Defense, and more. David, thank you for coming on The Newsworthy.
It's great to be here.
So first, can you tell us about the state of the vaccine rollout right now? What are a few of the main things that are working really well and some things that maybe aren't working so well?
Yeah, it's a great question, Erica. In healthcare, we are trained to be incredibly critical. We're trained to look for all the problems. And so I think what a lot of folks have heard in the popular media is really a focus on all of the issues with the vaccine rollout. But it's important to know that in a lot of respects, things are actually going fairly well. As of yesterday, we were vaccinating about 1.25 million people a day in this country. And by most estimates, we could actually double the amount of vaccines that we give on a day-to-day basis and not have any issues with supply chain or delivery or logistics. So in a lot of respects, things are going reasonably well. And at the same time, there are also some problems. And I think a lot of folks have heard about these. The last mile delivery, actually getting shots in arms, has been somewhat problematic. And it's really become an area of focus for us. There are a number of issues. For example, a large percentage of the population is either vaccine hesitant or are flat out opposed to taking vaccines.
And what are you seeing specifically within the healthcare system? Because I know it really varies depending on the hospital and the region, but even some healthcare workers have hesitated. What can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I would say for many of us, it was a bit of a surprise, though it shouldn't have been. In some institutions across the country, we're seeing fairly large numbers of frontline workers who are saying, I want to wait. And, you know, in a lot of respects, it's a reflection of what we see in the public at large. I would tell you that maybe the most important thing from my perspective, particularly with those frontline healthcare workers, is that we not put pressure on them to get vaccinated. In our own health system, we've really tried to shine a light on those individuals. In fact, we've asked them to talk about the reasons that they might be hesitant, about why they're taking a wait and see attitude. And really making sure that people feel like they have autonomy and agency as they make choice to get vaccinated. I think if we try and sort of over-index and pressure folks or convince folks or influence people in the wrong way, that will only backfire.
Well, to that point, what is your message to anyone listening now, even if they're not a healthcare worker, who may feel unsure about getting the vaccine?
Yeah, I think it's important to do your research. There are a number of sites that are out there, very reputable sites. I think, secondly, it's important to know that there are myriad mis- and disinformation campaigns that exist, thousands of them, in fact. I think another thing that's important for people to know, particularly in communities of color and in underrepresented communities, the vaccine trials themselves were among the most representative in history. And that's important. At least a third of those who went through the vaccine trials came from communities of color. And that has not always been the case. And I think for many good reasons, frankly, people have been sort of concerned that they weren't represented in those trials. And if you don't see yourself in the trial and in the science, it can cause that hesitancy to come about.
What is Kaiser doing? What do you think the healthcare system in general needs to be doing to make sure we get enough Americans vaccinated?
One of the important considerations in communication is to recognize that everybody internalizes messaging in very different ways. So a one-size-fits-all messaging campaign just isn't going to work. We've seen a lot, for example, in the public space, these messages that say, we're all in this together. And certainly that's a good message to give. Unfortunately, for somebody who isn't oriented towards a social good, somebody who is more interested in how things affect them and their immediate family, those messages just don't resonate. So we have to be particularly attuned to all the different ways in which people are influenced by messaging. For some, data and science win the day. For others, it's about emotion. For others, understanding financial implications, knowing that the vaccine is free, for example. We have to attack the messaging side of the problem in numerous ways. I think secondly, we have to think about the messengers. People have varying levels of trust in different individuals. In fact, one national survey just suggested that more than half the population would get vaccinated if someone they knew, a loved one, a close family member, had also been vaccinated. I also think there are some other very practical steps that we need to take. One simple step is providing a mechanism for people to raise their hand, to sign up, and to say, I'm ready. And you would be amazed at how many states and local governments and even healthcare providers aren't offering that as a solution. But I think it's really important. All of these surveys that suggest the degree of vaccine hesitancy that exists in this country, they're attitudinal surveys. And we know there's a gap between knowing and doing.
What percentage of Americans do you feel need to get vaccinated in order to, as people have put it, get back to normal? And do you think it's possible, is it actually realistic to get enough Americans vaccinated by the end of this year?
I think we've seen our science experts, like Dr. Fauci, for example, suggest that upwards of 70 to 80% of Americans will need to get vaccinated to experience herd immunity. I think it's important also to understand there are other factors, certainly, that influence when we achieve herd immunity. The number of Americans, for example, that have already contracted COVID, and that number is going up every day. That's a factor. How long immunity lasts, that's a factor. The degree to which the new variants or mutations of COVID that we're starting to see emerge impact immunity, that's a factor. So herd immunity is a moving target. Do I think that we have the wherewithal to get enough Americans vaccinated within the year? I do. I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing in the national vaccination strategy that's come out. And I'm encouraged really by the work that organizations across this country are doing, particularly community-based organizations, to support people in the process of getting vaccinated. So I think we can get there.
All right, thanks for listening today. If you found this episode valuable, please consider sharing it with a friend or on social media. You can tag us at NewsworthyPod. And as always, get the day's news in just 10 minutes with our regular episodes Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.